How are you guys doing? So, I felt like recently, you know, my opportunities to preach on Sundays was kind of diminished near the end, the later half of the year, with Pastor Christian and Aaron taking a lot of the preaching engagements, which is great. But then I felt like, you know, I shouldn't just be sitting by and let my opportunities to preach just, you know, go fizzle away. I felt like I should take my place and preach on Friday Fire. And so I set myself up to preach at least one Friday Fire each month for the next few months, at least for the next 3-4 months. And so you're going to see my face probably once a month for a while. Recently, I've been really, I've been reading the Word, and God has brought me to the book of Joshua this past month. And so in the mornings, you know, I spend time in the Word, and God brought me to the book of Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite, I think, like, I love reading Joshua. It is one of my favorite Old Testament books. It's very exciting. My passage one of my most favorite passages in the Old Testament is Joshua, the first chapter of Joshua, from verse 1 to 9. And so we're going to actually read that together. Actually, no, we're not going to read it together. I'll read it to you guys. I want you guys to open your Bibles to Joshua, and let's follow along and I'll read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do accordingly to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways, prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, this is one of my most favorite passages in the Old Testament, and this right now is a very transitional time for the people of Israel. So what happened with Moses? You guys know the story. Moses, you know, goes to Pharaoh. Even before that, you know, God makes a covenant with Abraham. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob, and then Jacob has his sons. And then Joseph gets sold off into slavery. And then all of a sudden, all the people of Israel end up in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. You guys have to understand how long this period is. America has been a country for a little over 200 years. So if you think about it, it's like they were in slavery in Egypt for a very long time. And then Moses, you know, he grows up. He gets called by God to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Pharaoh does it, and all of a sudden, changes his mind. What happens? God parts the Red Sea, and then they cross over, and then all the Egyptians, soldiers, they drown. Then now they're in the other side of the Red Sea, and then because of some foolishness, they wander the desert for 40 years. Okay? They wander in the desert for 40 years. Right? I'm 40 years old, so for my lifetime, these people wandered the desert. Okay? And then all of a sudden, this is a time Moses, you know, dies, and then Joshua takes over, And he's like, and all of what happens, all of the people that had no faith, that didn't, you know, the spies went out, that generation that said, you know what, we can't do this, let's just go back to Egypt, that generation dies out. And there's a new generation that is about to take the promised land. It's a very exciting time. That's why I love this passage. This is a time, this is like the moment where like everything's like you've been waiting for not just 400 years, but 440 years. They've been waiting for a long time for this to happen. And now it's like the pinnacle of their excitement. They're about to reach and take the promised land. And God tells them here to Joshua, be strong and courageous. He says it three times in 9 verses. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I want to tell you that strong and courageous is not a suggestion by God. It's a command. It's a necessity. As a matter of fact, being strong and courageous is a prerequisite to achieving the promised land. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Now we see 40 years later, the spies that got sent out, 12 spies got sent out, and only 2 spies came back with a positive report. Joshua and a cool guy named Caleb. And they saw all the prosperity, the milk and honey, the huge fruits. They all saw these huge men, these giants. And the rest of the spies, they come back and say, you know, we can't take them. And because of their lack of faith, they wandered the desert for 40 years. Okay? And it wasn't sin or idolatry or not following the law that gave them 40 years in the wilderness. It was that they were not strong and courageous. It's a prerequisite, guys. And what God is talking about when he says strong and courageous is not how the world sees strong and courageous. Okay? When I think of strong and courageous in a worldly sense, I think of Mission Impossible, one of my favorite movie franchises. I've never watched a Mission Impossible that I didn't like. Okay? I love it. I love the character Ethan Hunt because he's strong, right? He's physically strong. Okay? He might be small because Tom Cruise is small, but he's physically strong, but he's also like intestinal fortitude. He's just strong-willed, right? He's just got that, you know? But he's very courageous. He does things that normal people don't do. He'll, like, jump out of an airplane with no parachute. Okay? He'll climb the buildings in Dubai with, like, these magnetic strips that's supposed to stick to, you know, like, if you fall, you're gonna die, and you're just climbing up this glass window. He's very courageous, okay? He's a very courageous man. Or I think of Captain America, because, you know, very strong. He's a captain of America. So he's very brave. Or our friend Todd. Right now he's not here because he's in Seoul to do the Spartan race. The Spartan race is crazy. Okay, they like go have to run this crazy obstacle course. It's like one of the hardest obstacle course like you know that you can actually do. You go through mud. You have to run through like all these crazy things. And at the end, people hit you. You know. Like I heard in America, like they go really bad. They actually start to really hit you and whip you, and you gotta make it out, right? And they say that most people that start the Spartan race don't finish. Majority of them don't finish because that's how hard it is. Okay. Now all of these things are commendable, and something that God wants us to prove. He wants us to be strong. Okay. He wants us to not be cowards, living with fear, and scared of bugs. But what God is telling Joshua and the people of Israel. And also to us, is not just physical strength, it's not our own strength, but our strength in God. And he's not looking for blind courage, but a courage based on God and the power of God. He wants his people to be strong and courageous because of him and what he has done. Joshua and Caleb were not commended because they thought that they were strong enough to beat the Canaanites, you know, like, man, I can do it. Come on. I'm ripped. You know, like it wasn't, God didn't commend like Caleb because like he just felt that he can do it. He didn't commend them for having this like blind courage. You know what blind courage is? It's craziness. It really is. It's like, blind courage. Like I'll just do anything, whatever. When I was I used to do a lot of drugs. I used to do crazy stuff. Right, like really, really crazy stuff that really endangered my life. And I would hang out in downtown LA at the top of Flower Street. And at the top of Flower Street is a long hill that comes down. Usually nobody really takes this road, and then it goes right into the financial district, and then as you come down, there's a street that runs across the street, and you can't see the cars that are coming, okay? But from top of the hill, you can see the light, right? You can see the light, the traffic light that changed. And people would ride their bikes, because we're all bike messengers, they would ride their bikes down, and then they would try to time it so that as they got near the lights, the light would turn green and they can just shoot across the street, right? I was the only one that did it on a skateboard. Because the skateboard, you can't, the hill is so steep, you can't stop. Even if you try to stop, you're going to fall. And I did. I tried to stop and I fell and I messed up my shoulder. But I was the first one to do it. And everybody's like, "You're crazy, Lee. Don't do it, man." And I was like, "I'm going to do it." And I went up to the top of the hill and I timed it. I said, "In the third blink, 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 if I leave, okay, of the lights that are flashing, you know, the traffic light, right when I get to that street, it's going to turn green. I'm going to be able to go, right?" So I did. I took off. And still red. And cars are going. Still red. Cars are going. And right when I'm about to cross, the light turns green, and I fly across the intersection on my skateboard, and people are like, cars are like, "Ah!" They're looking at me like, "What are you doing?" Right? That was blind courage. But that's insanity right there. Right? The courage that God is talking about is not based just on ourselves. Okay? It's a courage that comes from something else. Soldiers in action, some of the bravest people we know, their courage comes from their training. Their courage comes from each other. They have each other's back. Their courage comes from their love of country, love of family, protecting their nation. It's not a blind courage. Even when you jump out of an airplane, your courage comes ultimately from the fact that you know that there is a parachute on your back, and that when you pull the cord, it's going to open and it's going to deliver you safely to the ground. When God calls his people to be strong and courageous, it has very little to do with us, but has everything to do with him. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous in the Lord. And in Joshua 1, God is giving them a formula for success, a formula on how to be strong and courageous. And that formula is, be strong and courageous by trusting and obeying. The way that you become... You know, because strong is an adjective. Courageous is an adjective. Well, what is the verb to that? It's trust and obey. The book of Joshua begins with a lesson on trusting and obeying. Up till now, for 40 years, the Israelites really didn't have to trust. Okay? Manna fell from the heavens every day. Okay? If something happens every day for 40 years... You don't really have to trust in that, okay? You really don't. If you know that for the last 39 years, manna fell from the heaven, you're not going to be like, "Oh, I hope it happens tomorrow. Oh, dear God, please help it happen." No. You know that it's going to happen. There's no trust there that's needed. And there wasn't much instances to obey. They were just wandering through the desert. Really, the only thing that God asked of them was to wander and eat, like cows. Just wander and eat. That was the only thing that was required of them in the wilderness. Wander and eat. Everything was given to them. But now it was a time to possess the land, and they needed to be strong, and they needed to be courageous. They needed to learn to obey. They needed to learn to trust in the Lord again. Trust and obedience go hand in hand because obedience is a sign of trust. And true trust comes with obedience. And God gives them the formula for success. Be strong in the Lord and be courageous in the Lord by trusting in him through obedience in him. And it's not just for Joshua, but it's for the Israelites. And ultimately it's for us. Listen for the trust me in throughout this passage. I'm going to read it to you. Okay? "Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all of this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. God is teaching him, man, trust me. Throughout all this, what he's saying is, man, this is me. Trust me. You're here because of me. What you're going to do is for me. Trust in me. He's giving them a lesson on trust because they didn't have to trust up to this point. It's like a baby. A baby doesn't need to trust the mom because it's a given. Ethan, he doesn't even know what trust is because he knows that I give him everything. I give him food. I give him clothes. Even stuff that he doesn't want, he knows that I'm going to give it to him. He doesn't really have to ask for anything. That's like what manna was from the heavens. There was no need for them to have faith. And there was really no opportunity or even, like they didn't even have to obey. The only thing that they had to obey was just wander and eat. But it's a different time. God is birthing in them, in the people of Israel, through Joshua. He's like, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to trust in me. I'm going to teach you how to obey. Because as you do that, you're going to be strong. You're going to be courageous. You're not going to be like your forefathers that died out in the wilderness. You're not going to see the giants and say, you know what? Ooh, let's go back to Egypt. No. You guys are going to be able to stand. And I'm going to start teaching you. This is what God is doing. God teaches them to start trusting. And he teaches them to obey. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. It goes down. It says, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Saying, trust in me, and obey me, and you're going to possess. Be strong, be courageous in me by trusting in me and everything that I promise you, and that trust needs to be walked out in obedience. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take care of it all. You're going to be able to possess it. If you trust in me and you obey what I tell you. And God takes the Israelites from the wander and eat mentality to trust and obey. Trust and obey. And he does it by removing the one person that they had no problems trusting and obeying. Moses. They've wandered the desert for 40 years. He's the one that liberated them, right? They really had no problem trusting and obeying Moses. But now, it's taken out of the picture. And they have to trust God through Joshua. Wouldn't it have been easier if God, with his audible voice, told the people of Israel, Moses, my mighty Moses, you know, the one that freed you from the Israelites, he helped part the Red Sea, you know, the tablet-toting, Ten Commandment Moses, well, he's dead. But the audible voice of God tells the people of Israel, you know what? Moses might be gone, but I'm with Joshua. Listen to what he says and everything will be fine. Wouldn't that make things easier for the people of Israel? Wouldn't it be easier for them? But no, he only tells Joshua, and now Joshua has to let the people know. And God does this to teach Joshua to trust in him, but also for the people to learn to trust in him, to make their trust real. God uses spiritual authority not to make trusting God harder, but to make your trust in God stronger. If God audibly spoke to us every day, we would obey. But our trust and faith in God would not be stronger. It wouldn't be tested. God chooses to use spiritual authority, flawed and imperfect they may be, to strengthen our trust and faith in him for us to know that he is in control. I feel like Moses was still, if he was still in charge, you know, and when they were about to take the promised land, it would have been a lot easier for them to obey
You know, because everybody knew Moses. Oh, it's Moses. I know Moses. He's basically like, you know, he's like next best thing to God. But then their faith, their trust in God would not be real. But all through the beginning of Joshua, God is testing and teaching them to trust in Him. To get out of the wilderness, everything handed to them mentality, and to step into the possessing the promise with trust and obedience mentality. And how do the Israelites respond? He's like, you know what, Israelites, get ready, Joshua. He's like, get ready. You know, I know Moses was in charge, but now I'm in charge now. You guys start going and get your things together because we're about to cross the Jordan. We're going to take the promised land. He's like, let's go. Let's do this, right? And then the Israelites, how do they respond? They answer, Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command in him shall be, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. They're like, all right, we're going to obey. We're going to follow you. They respond with strength and courage, with trust and obedience. And what happens? They find success. And God continues to build them in the trust and obedience as they're about to cross the Jordan River. Everything about this experience, I don't know if you guys read it. It's going to take too long to read it. But everything about this experience of them crossing into the Jordan is to build up their trust and obedience. God doesn't make it easy. It says God brings them to the Jordan at harvest time when the banks are flooded. This is when the river is floating like the craziest, right? It's a rushing river, okay? It's not just like a brook or a creek. It's during harvest time. It's when the rains have fallen. And now it's like the banks are flooded. You know when a river bank floods? It's like water used to be here is up to here now. And like the land used to be grass and tree is all like covered with water. The river is flowing. It's strong. And this is the time when God chooses to bring the Israelites here. And he's like, you know what? You guys are going to cross this river. And you know what? It's not like 50 people, okay? It's not like Gilligan's Island where they can try to make a boat and get off the island, right? This is a nation. This is every man, woman, and child, donkey, sheep, you know, like their tents, their forks, all their stuff, man. Pots and pans, it all had to cross. This is they can't, even if they had our technology now with boats and the ability to build bridges, it would not have been an easy thing. And God brings them to this river and said, you guys are going to cross. And he gives them directions. You know what? Ark of the Covenant is going to go first. Your priests have them put it on their shoulders. And you guys step far back so you can see what's happening, right? They're saying, look at what's happening. Okay, I want you to, he said 1,000 cubits. Stay far behind so that you can see with your eyes what I'm going to do, and you guys are going to cross. And God tells them, all right, the priest has it, and tell them to come to the edge of the river that's flowing, and literally as they stick their feet upon, and you know, these priests, if they didn't have faith, they're going to be like, man, we're going to be like underwater if we keep walking. But God tells them to march. And they take the step. And right as their feet is about to touch water, one side of the river just becomes a wall. And the other side becomes dry land. And God tells them the priest to stand in the middle of the river. Stand in the middle of the river. And I'm going to stop this torrential river from flowing. And then the nation of Israel is going to cross. This is saying, you know what? Trust in me. Because it has nothing to do with you. You're going to be able to do this because of me. And he's saying, look, stay far away so you can see. So that who's holding up the water is not the priest, but it's the ark of the Lord. It's the presence of the Lord. Set your eyes on him. You're going to be able to do it. And so the nation crosses. The nation crosses over. And then God tells them to do something very strange. After they cross, he tells them as they're crossing, because, you know, Joshua, it's like, it has like, it's like different parts. It's weird. It's like when God says it, when Joshua says it, and when they do it, and then there's an explanation for it afterwards. You know what I mean? How it's written. When you look at the story, God tells them, after they cross, he tells them to get 12 stones, not any stones, but stones from within the Jordan, stones that lay where the priests are standing, have men go pick them up and then bring them to the camp where they're going to be resting. You got to understand what's going on. These are stones that when the river dried up, that were sitting in the river, and these aren't like small stones, okay? These are big stones that men had to put on their shoulders and carry out, okay? And bring out and bring them to where they're lodged. And God commands them to make a memorial of these 12 with these 12 stones. God is saying, remember. Trust, obey, and remember. Remember the things that you couldn't have done without me. Because these stones were from within the middle of a rushing river, and these were not small stones. Because, like, the author says that they're still there to these days. These weren't like pebbles. Okay, you're not going to be able to go back and see a pebble. 12 pebbles that are sitting on the ground. Oh, yeah. You see those 12 pebbles? Like 50 years ago, Joshua brought them. No. These were boulders. These were big stones. And the only way that people were able to remove these stones from within, inside of the Jordan River, is by God drying up the water. And he's saying, take these stones. This is a memorial of something that they were able to do with the help of God. It would have been impossible for them to have done it. Try to go out to Suyong River. It's not even that big. It's right by where I live. And I tell you to go to the middle of that river, go down and pick up a boulder and bring it out. You're not going to be able to do it. Maybe if you had scuba equipment, but you're a Hebrew out in the wilderness, that's impossible. And this is God telling them, remember the things that you couldn't do without me, because it will strengthen your trust in him. It will strengthen your obedience in him. And I look back in my life, and I know that there are so many things that I couldn't have done without him. Like a few years ago, I was working from 9 to 6, Monday through Friday at a Hagwon. And they worked you like Hebrew slaves there. Seriously. It was bad. It was like 9 to 6 with no breaks. You know, and I loved the owners. I worked hard. But at the same time, we had just had Ethan. He was waking up crazy in the middle of the night. And then I had to run the church. I had to write my sermons. So I would have my Friday fire, come to Friday fire, lead Friday fire, write my sermon Saturday, Sunday morning, lead Sunday swim, sometimes lead praise, preach, lead membership class, go home, go to sleep, and then wake up at 8 in the morning to go teach at Hagwon over again. I did that for a year. I look back on it right now, and I think that would be impossible for me. The only reason that I was able to do it is by the grace of the Lord. Yes, I could have done it, but I couldn't have done it with joy in my heart and with my faithfulness and my faith intact. I look back on that and I see so much grace over it. That year was one of the most enjoyable years of my life. It really was. That year when Ethan was born to his first birthday, that year, hands down, one of the most enjoyable years of my life. But it was also the hardest year of my life. Well, it was one of the most grueling and tested years of my life. And I could see it with joy because God was there. And as I remember that, I could trust him. Like what I see now is nothing compared. Like I'm like, man, if God was with me, then he's going to be with me now. You guys have to remember those stones that God gives you. Remember those stones. Those stones from within the Jordan that it would be impossible for you to get without the help of God. Remember those stones. Remember those times when God was with you. Remember those times when God spoke to you. Remember him. Remember what God has done. And stand on your testimony. Some of you guys might be saying, well, I don't have mighty testimonies in my life. No, I don't have like crazy testimonies like you, Pastor Caleb. No. I want to say that there are two reasons for that. One, you're not looking hard enough. You got to really look what God has done. And two, if that really is the case, you need to get out of your comfort zone. You got to start to run and do things for God. Trust, obey, remember. And I want to close with these last two points. As Joshua and the Israelites are camped out at Gilgal, God tells Joshua to circumcise the men. Because while they were wandering through the wilderness, they didn't do any circumcision. They were like actually that 40 years in the wilderness was when they were really not even in covenant with God. But as they're coming back, as all of the circumcised men died off in the wilderness, all of these young bucks that are waiting, none of them are circumcised. And God says, circumcise the men. Renew your covenant with me. Because the circumcision is a sign of the covenant, right? The sign of the covenant of the Lord. And God is saying, renew your covenant with me. Now, under the new covenant, we are not bound by circumcision of our foreskin, but we are called to a circumcision of the heart. Is your heart wholly devoted to Him? Is there anything that's keeping you from giving Him your whole heart, your flesh, your fears, sin, rebellion, whatever it is? Circumcise that. It's only when our hearts are circumcised that we can fully trust Him and fully obey. Deuteronomy 36, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Now, Pastor Christian, last week, you preached about the verse, for the gate is narrow and the way hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Can your heart fully trust Him, fully obey Him when the gate is narrow, when the way is tough? Pastor Lydia, she preached out of Joshua a few months ago, and she said that possessing the promised land isn't making your life easier. There's more work and trouble, but we can press on when our hearts are fully trusting in Him and obeying Him. Lastly, there's a strange part of the story in Joshua in chapter 5. I want you to turn to it. Chapter 5, called the Commander of the Lord's Army. Trust, obey, remember. Your heart needs to be fully devoted. And then there's this one part right before they're about to take Jericho. There's this passage. I'm going to read it. Verse 13 of chapter 5. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now this is considered a Christophany, okay? This is a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ. Okay? We see this in the Bible when Abraham meets Melchizedek, the king of Salem, okay, and gives him his tenth of all of his brothers. That's Melchizedek is the Christ figure, okay? When Jacob wrestled with God, okay, the person that he wrestled with, okay, is considered to be the pre-incarnate Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the furnace, okay? There was three, and then all of a sudden they saw four. That fourth person is considered Christ. It's Christ, the Logos. Jesus, before he became a little baby, okay? And then the commander of the Lord's army here, this is another Christophany. It's supposed to be Jesus Christ. Before he comes to the earth, he stands before Joshua, and Joshua He asks, are you for us or are you for our enemy? And his answer is, no. His answer is, no. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. So many times, that's what we ask God. Oh, God, are you for us? Or are you against me? No. The question is, are you for God? Are you for God? It's not whether God is for you or against you. The answer is, are you for God? Because if you are for God, trust and obedience becomes very easy. This is the mindset that's going to radically change our trust in the Lord and our obedience in the Lord. It's not about, is God for me? Or is God for, you know, against me? No, it's about, are you for God? Is your life right now being lived for God? Are the moments of anxiety and fear that you have, those challenges that God is giving, do they come to you because you're living your life for God? Or are they worries and cares that you have for yourself? Because when we truly understand this, we have a true understanding of a trust in God and being obedient to Him. I want us to close our eyes. If Herman can come up. And the reason I felt like God would led me to preach this sermon is I feel like for many of us, like the people of Israel, some of you guys are in a time of transition. Some of you guys are really at that place where you're about to reach the promised land. Some of you guys have been wandering in the wilderness for a while. And the word that God speaks over you now is, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust my word? Do you trust where I'm taking you? Do you trust where I'm going with this? And He's saying, are you going to obey? Are you going to obey my word? Are you going to obey my commandments? And for a lot of us, including me, there's times where it's really hard for me to trust God. A lot of times where I feel like I can trust Him with things of ministry. I can trust Him with things regarding the church. I can even trust Him with things with my family. But then with certain things, I can't. There's a wall that I've brought up and raised up to not be able to fully give this over to the Lord. And I'm sure some of you guys have these things in your life. Some of you guys might be struggling with this. But as you guys stand in that time of transition, as you guys stand in that place of the promised land, as you guys stand in that place about to run out of that your wilderness, the times of wandering, God speaks over you. Do you trust me? Do you trust where I'm taking you? And I want to just give you guys an opportunity to respond. If there's any of you in here that's been having a hard time trusting the Lord.